Hey everybody, this is Bruce Shaman for Crafted For You. With me as always, we have my executive producer.
Hey guys, it's Alyssa.
And my co-host, Chris Nielsen.
What's going on, guys?
We are recording on site tonight. We are at Gibbs 100 Brewing Company here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And with us tonight, we have...
William Brown.
And you are one of the brewers.
I'm one of the brewers, yes.
Okay. You guys, what size...
We're sitting here right where the magic happens.
We are right next to the kettle and the ladder tent.
Yeah.
So you guys are pretty recent to the brewing scene here in Greensboro. How long have you guys been here?
We opened October 17th of the year before. Not last year, but the year before. So just a little over a year and a few months.
And you've been long... How long have you been here?
I've been here almost a year.
Well, that's awesome. So,
were you brewing anywhere else prior?
Not professionally, no.
Okay.
So,
did you start as a home brewer?
I did home brewing for years and years and years. Was approached with an opportunity, and have a very understanding wife, and it was like,
we both know all about that.
Yeah, it was like, sure, go for it, and that's how I ended up here.
I could start a club with the understanding brewers, yes, wives,
absolutely.
And fiancés.
That's what I've been telling her to start hashtagging. She's always on Twitter saying things about me brewing. I'm like, man, you just need these brewers' wives.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing. How does professional brewing compare to home brewing?
I mean, the process is the same, obviously, but it's just, you're doing things completely differently. I mean, everything does not scale up. Using larger equipment, obviously. I mean, more automation. Using chemicals that you never use when you're, on the homebrew side of things. Depending on how advanced you are in the homebrewing world, I mean, you're dealing with pHs and with cell counts, and I mean, things that, for the most part with homebrewing, you get a smack it, shake it, and pitch it. You're not doing cell counts or anything like that. There's a lot of similarities, but a huge amount of differences as well. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, one being safety, because this is a massive piece of equipment.
Oh yeah, I mean, anytime we're in operation back here, I mean, we wear steel toe boots, which is, yeah, exactly, steel toes. Anytime I'm doing anything with chemicals, hot liquid, anything like that, I'm either wearing safety glasses, or I've got a face shield back there. Gloves when we're dealing with the kegs. I mean, just. Safety is. I mean, one of my first days here, actually, I had a bucket of, and same reason I wear long pants all the time is because I had a bucket of scalding water and just, right down the boot. And
oh, I can't tell you how many times I've done that.
I learned really fast to wear long pants. So
there have been many times Jeff like comes home from work and he's like, if I wasn't wearing my boots, I would have broken my foot today.
Oh, yeah.
Dropped
yeah.
a keg right yeah. on it.
I haven't had that happen yet, but...
No, you will.
Yeah.
That day will come. When you guys get a little bigger and you're transporting them and...
I don't know. Unless you're just not as clumsy as Jeff is.
I am pretty clumsy.
Yeah. But...
So what were some of... So, the recipes that you brew here, were those things that you'd experimented with the past homebrewing? Did you kind of know...
None of the recipes are my own, actually.
Okay.
So John Priest is our head brewer.
Yeah.
He developed all the recipes pretty much before I even walked in the door.
Okay.
We've got a few that we've, done since I've been here, but the vast majority of the flagships are already, on paper and in stone for all intentional purposes.
Right.
Before I walked in the door.
Yeah.
So is that something like you guys all sit around, like you, Mark, and John, you guys sit around and be like, what do we want to brew,
Yeah, and I mean, we'll have a little powwow, and everybody kind of gets together and, kind of pitches out ideas, and also something that's different from home brewing versus, professional brewing is yeast management, because, I mean, obviously, yeasts are very expensive on the scale, so you want to do as many beers as you can using the same variety of yeast, that way,
if you don't mind me asking, strain?
We have three different, right now we have two strains that are active, but we normally have three strains. Usually we have an English house strain, an American house strain, and we'll either do a Belgian or a French house strain. So we've done one lager strain when we did the Oktoberfest.
Okay.
But we usually run 3 to 4 strains, and that's about it. Because once you get past that, you just can't keep up.
You guys using liquid?
Yeah, I mean, it's a it's just like
it's a prop.
It's just like a giant smack pack. Yeah. Instead, I mean, it comes in a like a 5 gallon like milk container for all intentional purposes.
Okay.
So.
And then you're just reused. How many times do you go through, like generation-wise?
It depends on the health of the yeast.
Sure.
It also depends on what beers you put it in prior. I mean, you'll get 7, 8, 9 generations out of it. Just it depends on how healthy they are, what environment they've been in, and that's where the viability come in, checking the viability and everything comes into play. So.
Nice. So you're just strictly going like cone to cone?
No, we actually harvest in Brinks. And then
okay.
And transfer that way. No cone to cone.
Okay. So our viewers can't see these, but what do you have in these barrels over here?
So currently is ESB in there. We've had our guilty party ESB. I've been in there for about 4 months now. We actually just tried it earlier today, and it's not quite ready yet, but we're. Because that's kind of like a black art. There's really no...
Those are bourbon barrels as well, right?
They are, yes. Okay. So it's 6 bourbon barrels. Two of them have been used before. The top two on the right there have been used before. The other 4 were recently dumped barrels from Heaven Hills, if I'm not mistaken. So.
And the ESB, that's your medal winner, right?
That is, yeah. Man.
Wow, I picked the right one.
You did. First time hearing you picked
it
the...
Can I try it?
That's delicious. This is. I've tried to come here on several occasions, and I've always been welcomed by a locked door.
Oh,
so
really?
Yeah, so I'm very glad to actually be able to try the beer. It's delicious. The ESB is awesome.
Yeah, the pale ale is.
The
amazing.
Head on it's phenomenal. I'm really
yeah,
liking
really
how
thick.
Creamy it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the tasting room like is gorgeous out there. It seems like such a great place to come and hang out and. It looks very dog friendly, considering the beautiful
day
we ran into.
Yeah, you'll have. I mean, any given night, you'll have 3 or 4 dogs in here. Yeah, and dogs are always welcome. You know, provide they're well behaved.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't try to eat somebody.
That's usually frowned upon. Do you guys do a lot of events? It's a pretty large space.
We do. We have Run Club here every Tuesday night. As you can tell, I'm not. A part of that. and then we have the Beard and Mustache Club of North Carolina meets here the first Tuesday
which
every
you
month.
Are a part of that.
Which I am a part of that. So, we have the Old Time Piedmont Jam Society, which is like a bluegrass jam group.
Okay.
They play here, and I want to say it's the first and third Thursdays. Don't quote me on that. It's all on the website. And then obviously we have food trucks here most nights. We also do a lot of smaller events. Like coming up on Valentine's Day, we have like a etched glass event.
Yeah,
That's really different.
Yeah, we do a lot of we work with a local artist here.
Okay.
And we do a lot of like partnership stuff with her and try to get a lot of things with her and everything and. They do a design draw and quite a few things here with the art community. So
cool. And you guys also do trivia nights, right?
We do trivia nights. See how you got
here? See, I've just heard from so many people that they love coming to your trivia
perfect.
Night.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Last time we were at the Dog Park.
Yeah. That's actually a big thing. Go to Gibbs. Dog friendly and awesome trivia night.
We do trivia on Wednesday nights, I think 8 o'clock. Also on Wednesday nights, actually going on right now, we have beer education. So there's a Facebook group for this as well. So every Wednesday, they pick a different style of beer. And we have one person in the group will get up and do like a little mini presentation on it, the history, parameters, all that. And then everybody brings a bottle of that style. And then it's like a little mini like bottle share, but with a little history lesson in there as well. So it's education for the masses. So
that's
really,
really
cool.
Yeah,
that's I like that.
Yeah. So that starts at 6 o'clock every Wednesday.
And is that open for anybody?
It's open
to come
for
to?
Anybody. We usually get, depending on the night. I mean, we'll have as few as 10 people, but some nights we'll have 20 people, 30 people. It depends on
maybe the style.
The style. I mean, I know, like when we did smoked beers, and maybe like 6 people show up, and then but then when you do like imperial stouts, and you'll have 30 people.
Absolutely.
But it's neat because you get to try a bunch of different things and you get a little history lesson there as well. So
That's really cool. I like that idea. That's everyone different. Just it's like a giant bottle share, but you're getting an education too.
And it's just one particular style. So, you know, when you can go to a bottle share, I mean, you'll have, you know, 20 different styles, if not more. And here it's like, okay, well, I have 20 examples of this one style.
Yeah. So you get a nice taste of the spectrum of the type of beer that you're drinking. Yeah.
And you know, different people, I mean, some people bring, you know, rare bottles, and some people bring, you know, run the mill stuff you go the best way and get it. Yeah. So it you know, it just kind of depends.
Yeah. That's cool to be able to see like the creative license of what you can do. You're not stuck in any parameters with a style of beer anymore.
But having like a cheap beer and then having, you know, something that's super rare is really good for when you're trying that style. You're like, well, they do it this way, but this one's doing it this way with maybe a couple extra different things. Maybe they're throwing bourbon or something in it.
I mean, you know, this is going to be, you know, a $4 bottle or a $22 bottle. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you hope there's some differences there.
So. You hope. We run into the opposite sometimes. Of course. It's the worst, you know, opening something you're really looking forward to and being disappointed.
We've been down that road.
Yeah, but.
So what kind of styles do you lean toward in drinking or in brewing, if that's different?
I'm kind of all over the place, to be honest with you.
Certainly not a bad thing.
No, I guess like I definitely go toward the darker side of things just as a standard fare.
Yeah.
With that being said, you know, it gets, you know, 100 degrees back here in the summertime especially. So like our Berliner Weiss, like that is a super good beer when it's, you know, 100 degrees back here and you're just like, God, give me something. You know? And but then I mean, you know, I also go gravitate toward like the stouts and porters. Mm-hmm. That's more of my just kind of everyday style.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the loser guy, like because I'm more of the English style of beer, which, you know, of course nobody likes. You know, everybody likes old Belgians, and you know, I'm just more of a standard fare. You know, give me an English mild that I can
A good staple.
Just a staple, exactly. Something that I can drink, you know, 3-4 of them and still make it home, you know what I mean? I definitely gravitate more toward that style.
Yeah, something that's not just going to destroy your palate after liking one of them.
Exactly. So
I'm the same way. I don't want anything just I want to have like 3 or 4 of whatever I'm drinking.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
An imperial whatever IPA that's just going to kill me.
I'm a firm believer it's the drink of the masses, and therefore, you know, it should be enjoyed in good company. So, you know, you should be able to drink, you know, I'm not saying, you know, never, you know, obviously drink, you know, an 8.5 or 10% imperial or anything like that. But I do think there's definitely a market there for obviously the you know, that 4
sessionable.
More sessionable beers that, you know, you can go out with your buddies and, you know, have a good conversation and you know, spend 2 hours.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
And remember it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Is that something Gibbs does? Do you guys kind of stay somewhat in the sessionable
within
range?
Reason. I mean, most of our beers in that, you know, 5.1 to 6 range. Right now, we do have the barley wine and the Scotch ale.
Which are obviously a lot higher.
Exactly. They're a little bit higher. But still, they're not, you know, insanely high or anything like that. Our Scotch ale was actually so there's a local homebrew club here called Balgrind Brewers Guild, and which I'm sure you're familiar with those guys.
Yep.
They every year we do a pro-am competition with them. So they you know, we pick a style and say, okay, we'll sponsor that, you know, that style category. Whoever wins that category, then they come to the brewery here and we brew their beer on the big system. So the Scotch ale is actually obviously with some modification.
Like you talked about, you can't scale.
Well, as close as you can get to their, you know, their style.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we release it to the. So we did a 15-barrel batch of the Scotch ale. The guy, I don't have my email with me. The gentleman's name escapes me, but he was out of Wilmington. So,
When he comes here.
Well, I think due to work he couldn't, but historically, normally when you have somebody who wins a pro-am, you know, they come in, brew with you all day. I mean, it's a, you know, I mean, they'll be here 8 hours.
So. That's awesome.
That's a cool experience.
Yeah.
Makes me want to join that club again.
And so do they sit down with somebody who, has more working knowledge of the system that you guys are doing with and come up with the recipe together, or
it's more or less you take their recipe and then you sort of go, because obviously with homebrewing you have access to anything and
everything you want,
but because I mean you're dealing in such smaller quantities that you know you can go out and buy an ounce of this, an ounce of that, whereas here you're buying hops 44 pounds at a time. I mean, it's obviously not as, if you're using this particular hop that rare hop just came out last year.
Right.
You can't get a contract for that or anything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't make any other beer. I can't justify buying.
Absolutely.
So you have to kind of modify things to play with that. But normally they would come in and brew with us as much as safety would allow. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to have them climbing in a mash tun or anything like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm sure would love that.
Yeah. So within reason. Yeah. So it's a good time.
Yeah, that's an awesome experience. I think a lot of homebrewers would love climbing up here on the platform and really seeing how beer is made, more than just the little pot at home.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So what's your background? What got you into brewing?
Nothing really particular. I mean, I was just a huge craft beer guy for a long time. Once again, had a very understanding wife who bought me a gift certificate and was like, hey, go to the local homebrew store and get some stuff. And, fast forward, years later, and here I am. I mean, it wasn't anything necessarily that...
So did you start with that kit or did you start with the malt?
So I started out with, extract, just like, 90% of people did. I did two bottles of extract and then realized that, okay, wow, all grain's a whole lot cheaper.
Hard as you think it is.
Yeah,
at first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I did two batches extract, and then I jumped into all grain. At the same time, I bottled those two batches of extract and said the hell with bottling.
Yeah.
And, then I went straight into kegging.
Yeah.
And it went kind of. It was like a forest fire. I mean, as soon as it lit, it was done.
So how long were you homebrewing before you?
About 6 years?
It's about as long as I've been.
Yeah, six, seven years. I mean, it was a good amount of time.
Yeah.
So.
I'm doing it now.
Go ahead.
No, you can talk. I was going to say, I feel like part of the problem is I feel like I know a lot about Gibbs already. And so it's sort of hard to, talk about it, because you guys, obviously, with the exception of Natty Greens, were the first brewery downtown, which has been huge, and we were just now starting to see other breweries open up around the area, which is fantastic. I think that definitely helped with the beer culture here.
Of course.
I know when you guys were first starting, there were a lot of things. We had some weird leftover loss that Gibbs was definitely a part of helping open up to make the beer community, to make the brewing industry more accessible thing to do in Greensboro, I don't know, Jeff, you want to talk?
I have a question. Is there a reason you guys don't filter your beer?
When you filter beer, obviously you remove all the, a lot of the vitamins out of that beer. You also, it's just like, I view it just like filtering whiskey or something like that. I mean, you just remove a lot of the flavor elements. So yes, our pale ale is cloudier than if you go down the street or go to Sierra Nevada or whoever. Our beer does tend to be a little cloudier than others. And with that particular beer, that beer is so heavily dry hop that it's a lot
like homebrew.
Yeah, it would ruin a lot of the flavor profile, I think, if we did filter.
Okay. It's delicious. It's very flavorful and full body.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So we started doing a fining process now. So you're drinking the ESB here.
Yeah.
And that beer, if you fast forward, rewind, till probably about 4 months ago, that beer was considerably cloudier. So we started a fining process with that to kind of clear it up, but without filtering. So, and plus, our beer has a very short shelf life.
Right.
It has to be kept cold. It can't sit on a shelf for 6 months and then it's just as good. So, and we want that. We want to make sure that beer is not, you know, escaping out into the wild, and then it's just, you know,
right,
garbage.
Yeah. Has that been a problem at all with, I mean, obviously, when you don't brew beer in a vacuum, you have to sell it to people. Have you guys had problems with beers not taking off the way you thought they might?
Or? No, I mean, for the most part, all of our beers have been fairly well received. And we just signed with a distributor just, you know, not too long ago.
Okay.
So,
that's exciting.
That is. That has significantly helped us, you know, expand out some.
Yeah.
And who did you guys go with?
We went with Triumph.
Okay.
Yeah, so out of Charlotte. So our beer right now is available in Charlotte to Raleigh, basically, and kind of that network in between.
In between,
so.
Yeah. What's the fine agent that you do use?
What?
Out of curiosity, the fine agent?
It's a biofine agent.
Okay, cool.
It's completely, it meets the Bavarian Imperial Law 1516. It's an all-natural fining agent.
I've thought about using that in homebrew recently.
Yeah, you can do the whole gelatin thing and
yeah,
all that. But we tried doing it with the Pella as well, but it just doesn't take as well as it does with the ESB. So it's
probably
just
because of all the
too much to bring down. I mean, that beer, when it's dry hop, I mean, literally, it's 2 5-gallon buckets of hops. I mean, it's a significant amount. So
do you guys try to adhere to the Bavarian code, or
No.
I was just asking because you brought it up. So
no, not particularly. I mean, it's just it's not something that we're okay. You have to do this. I mean, we're not purists. I mean, in that sense. But I mean, like John, you know, he was German trained, so I mean, I'm sure he has an opinion on that more so than I do.
Also, what size is your kettle?
So it's a 15-barrel brew house. And then on the cold side, fermentation-wise, we have 230 barrels, and then we have 315s. And then we've got a 15-barrel bright back there. And then we have a small fermenter that's a 3.5-barrel that we use for kind of limited special stuff. So.
Awesome. Cool. Do you find people like walking down the street, because we're in here and there's like these great big beautiful windows, but do you find people like pressing their noses to the glass? Like, what is that guy doing?
It feels like you're at a zoo. I mean, the monkey behind the glass. I mean, we're, you know, you'll see people all the time walk up, you know, hands side and just stare at you. Same thing with this window over here. Like, you know, especially when like we're having to do like a real late night brew or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been brewing, you know, at 10 o'clock at night on Friday,
right?
And you know, there'll be some guy staring in the glass, just like memorized, staring at you. And it's like, I don't know what you want to do, buddy.
I'm sure it's weird at first, but by now you're probably just like you just tune it out completely.
Sure, you don't even realize what's going on.
When you raise your glass and you just
you're like, hey, it was a
living the dream, no big deal.
Which if we play our cards right, a lot of the times we try to be done by the time you know any crowd. I mean, if we do everything right, then ideally we're out of here before we even open the doors. You know, so that way you don't have that issue.
Yeah.
So obviously you guys are really working well with the community, but how is it going within the beer community? How are you guys being accepted?
I mean, pretty well, I think. I mean, I think we have good working relationships with all the breweries here in Greensboro. We along with everybody. Everybody's super supportive of each other. I wouldn't think twice about calling up one of them, and just like I would welcome them to call up one of us if they needed something, or their grain order got we're missing a bag, a biscuit or whatever, and well now it's 5 a.m. and got water ready to go, and there's definitely a community there that you have to have, and that's obviously there is there's competition, quote unquote,
yeah.
But I mean, It's really the whole rising tides rides all ships. I use it that scenario. I think I think there's a kinship there that is not. It is like no other industry I've ever been in.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, I can see that even with patrons. You know, you've got people who maybe swear by a certain bar, but if you like beer, you like beer, and you want to know what's new and what's interesting and what's happening and what's going on. So
and that's it. I mean, like if you walk out here right now, every person that's out here. And you ask them, hey, where were you at 2 days ago? Oh, well, I was at, Prior. Or, 2 days before that, I was at Pig Pounder. Oh, well, then I went to Foothills,
Right.
Like, we don't really have, like, that Cheers crowd or whatever they where it's like, okay, I am a loyalist. This is my beer. This is my brewery. You just don't have that. I mean, the enthusiast is going to, you know, they're going to drink this beer today, next beer tomorrow. Right. I mean, they're going all over the gambit.
Yeah. So. Which is good because it sort of makes the entire area feel like Cheers.
Of course.
You know, instead of just going to one bar, you can go to lots of different bars that attract the same crowd, and then you see lots of familiar faces.
Yeah. Which is nice. It helps build that sense of community. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in the last couple months, like, we've interviewed a few different breweries and we've been to a few different places together, and now we're here. And I'm just discovering that everyone has formed their own unique identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't expect to have, you know, you're not seeing the same things everywhere. Everybody has, like I said, like, their own identity every place. So it's easy to go to all these different places and then be just as memorable, you know, as the other places in Greensboro, which is really nice.
Absolutely.
I think each brewery has its own little quirk to it.
And a lot of it has to do with, a lot of it's about the not beer, right? A lot of it's about the fact that, you know, when we went to Pryor and we talked to him, he was very into board games and he wanted to make that a priority. And, like, this is a place where it's like, I mean, you guys have the, you know, the I forget what it was called, like the bottle club, the history thing. Yeah. That's awesome. You're not going to get that somewhere else. You know, that's super cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to bring, Jeff and I just ordered a new board game and I want to bring it here and have like 10 of my friends and us just like every week set
There's
up a date to
really
come.
Good tables here for it too.
And I mean, we have a whole wall of board games. In that sense, we want to be very like family friendly. I mean, obviously, you know, you go out there anytime, I mean, there'll be kids out there. I mean, so you want to maintain that, you know, family friendly atmosphere and that community atmosphere.
Oh, you're fine. I was just looking at the time. I wasn't sure if that was my phone or your phone.
That was my phone.
We're all so popular. Our phones are just dinging.
I always cool do that. I record several podcasts a week. You would think I would put my phone on. I'm going to do it
never.
Now.
No. Chris likes everyone to know how popular and funny he is.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. That's why he hosts two podcasts and does all of that.
So, is there anything you feel like is unique to the Gibbs culture that maybe is a little different than other places?
I mean, we definitely have a community of, and it's not really different, I wouldn't say that, I mean, but we definitely have a community atmosphere here. I mean, we do want to be Greensboro. I mean, we're not, you know, we're not trying to be a Raleigh brewery or, you know, Charlotte or whatever. I mean, the Greensboro Pale Ale, like, we're trying to be a local, like, you know, guy around the corner and build that community. I mean, it's even our name, like, you know, Gibbs 100. I mean, that's a neighborhood measurement by Thomas Jefferson. So, I mean, the idea being that we'll, you know, support the community. So.
I was curious about what the 100 actually was.
Yeah, so it was Thomas Jefferson, like, so how you have like counties and, you know, parishes and all, you know, depending on the state. But so Thomas Jefferson, his idea was to do hundreds. The idea being that this piece of land would support 100 families.
Okay.
So that's kind of the idea behind that.
And even that within the name just means you're supportive of your community.
Yeah, I think that pretty much screams community.
Yeah.
We hope.
That's what you want in, you know, your local place, like where you want to go and hang out and meet your friends and eventually, you know, bring your families and your kids. And you want a place where you feel like people are going to remember you and you're going to remember the people and you can have conversations and feel comfortable someplace.
And I mean, lots of the people who come in here pretty regularly, I mean, we have the same bartenders. I mean, we've had the same bartenders since I've been here. I mean, we only have 9 employees, I think. Something like 9 employees. So, I mean, we're very small, like, company-wise. You'll get to know anybody. Like, if you see a bartender here, you come back tomorrow, probably be the same bartender. I mean, we just don't have that many employees. So you do get to know everybody. I mean, you know, I bartend for about 2 hours once a week. And, you know, I have the same group of people coming here every Thursday.
Oh, that's cool.
And it really is like, it's because you get to know these people. And, you know, you get to know their family. And it's kind of a neat little, you know, niche, I guess.
Yeah, I like the idea of, like, I'm sure John, does he bartend as well? No. Okay.
Not for the most part.
I still like the idea that, you know, at least one of the brewers is out there, you know, meeting the people and they're able to talk about the beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really cool. I don't think I've ever had that experience of sitting down behind the bar and having the guy who made the beer serve me the beer.
It's really rare.
That's really cool.
You go to your little small places. I mean, where it's like, well, you know, we have three people.
Yeah, yeah, so, absolutely.
I mean, I know Burial Barrel started out like that. I mean, you know, a lot of your smaller guys, you know, I mean, obviously they've came leaps and bounds since then, but a lot of your small guys, you know, they have to by just necessity. I mean,
yeah.
And I'm sure with so many homebrewers coming through the door, like, everyone has a lot of questions, and you're there to answer them.
And you know, we're very, on this side, we're very integrated with the local homebrew, you know, community here. I mean, I'm part of the BBG. You know, I've been to some of the High Point Hops meetings. You know, Mark was also a member of the BBG. So, I mean, we have close ties with the homebrew community. So.
I also know John was helping with RCC.
Yeah, he was teaching out there for a little while.
Yeah, I went through that program a little bit.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, that is one of the best programs around here.
Yeah.
Like if you're really serious about brewing at all, it's fantastic.
I mean, honestly, they have such a... For it to be a community college, they do have... I mean, they have great professors. Like the people that are teaching there...
You know
there,
Todd.
Yeah, yeah. I mean... Great professors, people who really know what they're talking about, and you know, it definitely has a higher, I don't say a higher level, but it definitely comes across as a not a community college per se. You know what I mean? Like you're getting a top flight education out of there.
Oh, we completely
in Rockingham County. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, what's there besides Miller?
Yeah. Not anymore.
That's sad but true.
I shouldn't have said that. I feel bad.
Wow.
But no, the education there is great. We can edit that. But yeah, the education there is amazing. Like, and it's not like you're using a small little system. Like they have a Sabco, and I think they're about to get a 3-barrel system.
Yep,
that's soon.
That's what I've heard. So.
Which is awesome. So like, you're learning. You're not learning from like some Joe Schmo who knows about homebrewing. You're learning from Todd Isbell, who is actually the brewer at Liberty in High Point, and he really knows his stuff. Like he went to
UC Davis.
UC Davis. Mm. So you're really getting a great education.
And didn't we run into the head of the program at a homebrew rally? When we were in Raleigh.
We did.
And
he was wearing that awesome Brett shirt.
He was. But he was all over the place. Like, he was a little here and there and all over, like, just, like, the craft brew scene.
Yeah.
I was hanging out.
I forget what profession he actually was in, like, in terms of what he actually did, but...
But he was a big part of it.
He was definitely, yeah.
And he made sure to let us know that his, like, 7 or 8-year-old son was brewing with him every time he homebrewed, which is very important.
Because his son would pitch the yeast.
Which made him the brewer.
There you go.
So, but, and that's even cool that, you know, within such a large state, the overall, like, brewing community feels smaller. And more like a community. Like, we could go to Raleigh and run into people, or, you know, be in Asheville and run into someone, and everyone knows everybody else, mm-hmm. which is really nice.
Yeah, it's easy to be like, oh, I know this guy. Like, when we went to Hot River and we were talking about Uncle Mike and stuff, they're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly who that is. Yeah.
And it just, I think, is a testament to the fact that everybody cares that much more. Everybody is there to help everybody else out and answer each other's questions and help people find new awesome beers to try.
So within the community, are you guys like, I don't know if you guys have done this yet, but are you guys planning on to do any like collabs with anybody?
We haven't done any as of yet, but that would definitely be something that we would be interested in doing. I mean, yeah, we did the one, I guess, collaboration that we did do was a triad collaboration. That was with, you know, us, Mystery, Prior, who else is, Four Saints, I mean, just a handful of, Liberty was here, and that was the Moravian Cookie Stout that was put into two bourbon
right.
barrels.
Wow,
into,
that sounds good.
Yeah and, where were we?
And all the breweries that took part in it, they all got a keg out of it, and, you know, put on tap at their home, and, But I said it was two bourbon barrels and two Bordeaux barrels, red wine barrels. So,
came out really well. That sounds delicious.
That sounds awesome.
That's really good.
So, yeah, so we're definitely open to doing collaborations in the future. We just haven't, we haven't done like a collaboration with like one person. We haven't done a collaboration with Pryor or Four Saints.
Yeah.
So, and no, not for any particular reason. We just haven't got to that point yet. But
well, hopefully somebody's listening right now.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, because we'd definitely be interested in it. I mean, like I said, I'm all for it. I mean, that, you know, I haven't met a bad person yet, legitimately. I mean, that it's been nothing but supportive. So.
Yeah, I would love to see like a collab between.
Yeah.
I would love to see a collab with us and you guys. That'd be awesome. I'd be totally down for that. Maybe when we get to our new place.
That'd be very awesome.
I love collabs. Whenever we see one on the shelves, I'm like, I want that.
Well, it's just, it's nice because it reminds you that everybody's friends.
Exactly.
People just get along. You know, like.
It's like a friendly beer to drink.
Yeah. So what, do you guys have any plans moving forward?
I mean, like I said, we just signed with a distributor, so just growing that market.
Okay.
Expanding out. So I said, we're in Raleigh now, we're in Charlotte.
You guys are doing bottles, or you're doing, you're
we're,
going
we're just doing
yeah,
kegs.
We're strictly keg right now. Package is in our future.
Okay.
We're kind of sorting that sort of ship now. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
But we're working on it. So
okay.
That hopefully, relatively sooner than later,
yeah,
we'll be in some form of package.
That's exciting because
I need
tons of caps for my beer cap map of North Carolina.
We might go cans.
I was about to ask you, are you a can or bottle kind of?
I'm on that bandwagon.
As we were talking about people walking up and staring at us.
Hello, people.
Well, I know that guy. So that's why. Yeah. I don't know who this guy is.
He's just staring.
Yeah.
If I didn't need to buy bottles to fill my cat map, I love a good can.
Yeah.
I do.
So I'm you're on the can. Torn. Why are you on the can wagon? What's your argument?
They're growing. You see?
Yeah, you guys are mutating people. And they're touching each other.
Yeah. This is my everyday life. Yeah. No, I mean, I just.
He's waving furiously. Everyone wave.
Nope. No, I'm that's the former president of the Beer and Mustache Club.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Nice.
But
rightfully so.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That was a glorious mustache.
It was a big ass beard.
Yeah.
But no, I jumped on the can bandwagon. I just think it's, you know, obviously years ago I used to be a pretty active outdoors guy, and you know, the fact that you can take cans, you know, places you can't take glass, when you take it on the beach half the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can take camping. I just think it's a better package. I do.
Okay.
And from, you know, my original background before I got into brewing was in logistical and distribution. So, you know, from a cubic area, you know, on a truck or something, cans make so much better sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Just they come in nice square packages.
Stack,
put a lot more on
that.
A pallet. Mm-hmm. It, from a distribution standpoint, I just think they work better. So.
Also for your space too, because you can just get a. Like a mobile canning line in here, and
I was gonna say
knock it out in a couple hours.
Yeah, exactly. And
production wise, it's much more compact and easy.
It is. It is. And if you've seen our cooler, I mean, we have a fairly small
cooler.
We'll
have to
cooler,
check that out.
So we're space is a premium. I mean, as with any brewery from this part.
How often do you guys brew? Out of curiosity.
It depends. It really does kind of fluctuate.
Depend
a little
on
bit.
Demand and everything.
Exactly. You know, usually, I mean, we've had some weeks where we brewed, you know, 4 or 5 times in a week. We've had some where we haven't brewed at all. It just kind of depends on the...
Oh, what's moving.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And also, like I said, the yeast health and making sure that, you know, we're keeping, you know, those little guys happy. So.
Cool. Awesome. Well, are there any, like, big events or anything coming up you want our listeners to be aware of?
Well, let's see here. Valentine's Day, we're doing the etch on glass thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have an anniversary party, you know, that. So we don't have any huge events coming up. But you know, we have events here, like I said, weekly, every week. So
yeah,
that's cool. We're gonna have to look into that bottle share and lessons.
I say,
what's the group name for that?
It's Beer Education.
Beer Education.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page. And once again, I'm quoting this because I'm definitely not a website guy, but I believe you go to our website, there'll be a link to it, and it should forward you to that.
Hopefully. And we'll throw some of those links up in the show notes for you guys listening at home.
And like I said, the beer education is awesome, awesome. That's probably my favorite thing we do because obviously I don't like the run club. but the beer education is really neat because you do get that little history lesson, that little, you know, the style parameters and everything, and then, you know, you get to try, you know, X amount of examples of that style.
It's something we're definitely going to have to start going to.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday at 6, and they do a different style every week. And then when we run out of styles, you know, start again, getting invented by then. So.
Hey, there's always more beers to try.
Exactly. There's a ton of styles. I don't think you'll run out anytime soon.
There's a ton of beers within every style.
This is also true.
If you go by the BJCP, like the 2015 guidelines, like, I think they just made stuff up. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
It is. Like, yeah, it's like, I've never even heard of this. Like, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've never seen this style.
You know, there's so many styles within styles. It's crazy.
And then when you see, like, the commercial example, it's like one beer. And it's like, great.
Those are terrible guidelines.
Yeah, and you're like, sometimes, that seems self-proclaimed almost at that point.
Do you guys ever do anything? Our viewers don't know this, but there's a... Well, I guess they're moving now.
They are, yeah. The Forge next
door. But are you guys planning on doing anything with the distillery opening up next door?
We haven't actually sat down and worked anything out with them. That's definitely something that me personally am very interested in. Because, you know, that's a whole other art form that I've never done anything with and am very interested in. So we don't have anything, like, on paper as far as, but we definitely want to, you know, work with them and anything we can do to help them or anything, by all means, you know, we want to, you know, help them out. So
that's great. That's definitely something.
Oh yeah,
I'm excited about
keep
that.
Keep looking out for.
And I mean, we share a door, so I mean,
Oh yeah, they're right on that side. Okay. Just pop in.
Yeah.
Hey guys, what's
going
on?
Roll a barrel
on?
Over.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Hey, you want to put a little in here? A little in my glass?
Sure. Yeah. Let's do a tasting of each other's
work. Listen, knows.
Oh, man. I mean, I think it'd be really neat, especially if we did some sort of like collaboration, like tour wise or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
that'd kind be
of
really
like
cool.
How Highland and Troy and Son, I believe, how they have a combination like tour. You go to like the Highland tour at like 5:30 and the distillery tour is at like 6 or something. I can't
remember.
That's
cool.
That's
really cool. Yeah, you just walk straight through.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think that'd be a neat little setup. And like I said, that's not official. I've no preference by saying that. But,
just ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
Out.
So,
yeah. That's really cool.
I think
that'd be fun. I'm super excited to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
So, and then the Forge, it was there. They've actually moved to the, I don't know if anybody's been in Greensboro for a while, but the Flying Anvil, the former building.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're actually moving down to that building now.
Oh, wow, okay.
We helped them move some equipment last night. So.
That's awesome.
Bigger space.
Bigger space, much bigger space.
Yeah.
So,
they're doing pretty well.
They're doing awesome. And if
so that's a hacker space. I don't know if anybody, if we said that.
It's a hacker space, maker space. They have, you know, awesome equipment, woodworking equipment.
Stuff you never get to.
CNC
routers. Oh, yeah.
Like 3D printers.
Yeah, a $10,000 mill that, you know, obviously you're not going to have access to in your garage.
Yeah.
That, you know, anything you want to do, and they have very knowledgeable people there that can, you know, help you along. I do not know that guy.
Oh, he waved, so I waved back. I'm just being friendly.
Oh, you're getting used to that, too. Just like, oh, hey.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you guys are on all forms of social media?
We are. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and obviously Facebook. And
cool.
There's another one out there that we might be on that one, too. I know we're on those three. So.
But I think that pretty much covers it.
I think that sums it up. Yeah.
And so that's it's a Gibbs 100 Brewing Co. or
I would have to pull my phone out. I actually don't know. The Facebook is obviously Gibbs 100 Brewing Company. And I'm actually a loser. I'm not on Instagram, so.
You gotta get on Instagram.
Yeah,
we're always posting cool stuff.
Gibbs 100.
There we go.
Gibbs 100.
Numerals or spelled out.
Spelled out.
Okay.
Spelled out.
So, check them out on all their social medias.
Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Untapped. For beer reviews. We will be reviewing our beers. And I'd like everyone to know that out of the three of us, Alyssa finished her beer first.
Let it be known.
You're also talking the least.
I had plenty to say to you. You stop your sass. But we are crafted_4_you.
I'm going to get better about reviewing my beers before my phone dies. Because I can't tell you guys how many times I've taken a picture of a beer to put on Untappd, and then my phone just powers down.
Yeah, so. More pictures of everything in general.
Yes.
We love taking pictures. We're going to post some great pictures of Gibbs so you guys can see what we're talking about while we're talking about it.
Oh, yeah, because I'm sitting here pointing the things. And
nobody can see
Nobody
that.
Has no idea.
Yeah. In hindsight, now I'm reading this, and it's like, you know, I've made so many comments about this, and like, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
See, but that just means you guys got to come down and see it for yourself. We do that to create more of an air of mystery.
That I like it.
Yeah,
genius.
Once again, if this is you guys' first episode listening to Crafted for You, we would absolutely love it if you guys could subscribe and rate and review us on iTunes. That's fantastic. That's how we get one step closer to being able to afford to do even cooler stuff for you guys. Absolutely, come check out Gibbs. This beer has been fantastic. You've been amazing. You've been a great guest. I've had a fantastic time.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate y'all coming
down. And yeah, everybody come out and see us. We're at 117 West Lewis, downtown Greensboro. So
come check them out.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.